Hi all, this is Theo from Crowd Policy. I'm very happy today because I have with me two very, very good friends, Antonis Pretzas and Marios Noutsos from Finloop. Hi guys.
Hi Theo.
Hi Theo.
It's very, very good to have this chat with you. I know that you've been very busy these past few months, and I'm, you know, excited to introduce you to our network. So without further ado, I actually would like to, if you can give us just a summary of yourselves and about Finloop, actually. So let's start with Antonis.
Super. Thank you, Theodore. I'm Antonis Prentzas, co-founder and the CEO at Finloop. What we do is that we are a buy now, pay later platform. That means we allow merchants to sell products and services to their customers, to consumers, in interest-free installments. And we are powered by open banking. That means we have developed our own credit scoring algorithms in order to assess the consumer and conclude on whether they are eligible or not. I don't know if you want to do a deep dive in our backgrounds too.
Yes, please. Just I would love to hear how, you know, entrepreneurship is a very weird thing, let's say, to do. But it's actually very interesting. All the stories I've heard so far, it's like, you know, how you started. How did you get involved with this?
Okay, super. I'll let Marios also do the introduction, say what's his role.
Of course.
At Finloop.
Thank you, Donny. I'm Marios Noutsos. I'm a co-founder and CEO at Finloop. And it's an interesting story how we got together with Adonis and how we went about starting Finloop. It starts with a nice chat, 4-hour chat, I would say, at Regeneration, which is the program that helped us find our first role. Don't you want to say what we discussed?
Sure. So we met with Marios at Regeneration. Actually, from the first day, we had some very interesting discussions. There was a good fit there. Actually, we were talking about 3 hours, something like that, about game theory. We both have done our academic thesis in game theory. Mm-hmm. My background is civil engineer, and I had a thesis in game theory and applications in the construction industry. Marios had a very interesting thesis too. If you want to say something, Mario.
Yeah, my background is in business economics and maths. I studied at London, in London, at the University of East London. And my thesis was about which of the incumbent game theory theorems are applicable to the luxury automotive industry leader. So I did an analysis of all the then big players, and we derived a proper model that would describe their leadership model in terms of game theory.
That's very interesting. So you actually met, you knew that you have a similar interests, I would say. You were both in Regeneration, and then you were thinking for the next big thing, actually. So I guess...
Yeah, we were discussing for many years how could we be involved in entrepreneurship. Sometime this deep desire from both sides matured, I would say. Actually, I had an MBA, the international MBA in the University of Athens. I began taking some things on the open banking sector. Actually, my last role before Finloop was at Accenture, and I was the product owner of the team that built the open API platform, the open banking, actually, in a Greek systemic bank. From day one, from the regulatory requirements that came from PSD2, the analysis of the as-is infrastructure of the bank, up to actual implementation, maintenance, and how could we utilize these new things to provide value to the bank. back then. However, that was a very nice beginning to start thinking, how can we utilize this new technology and regulation to bring a new innovative value proposition in the Greek market. So we began discussing with Marios, and very quickly, I would say, we concluded to the credit industry. As you know, this is a deeply problematic industry. Marios can also share some things about his background and his involvement in that industry. Therefore, one thing brought another, and actually we concluded on the buy now, pay later offering. This was very clear to us that it was a mandate, I would say, in the Greek market. It was very important to bring forward a better solution for the consumers. Our background in terms of government, private debt, corporate debt is awful here in Greece. So we wanted very, very much to find things to make it better for all participants.
I see, better and easier and simpler, I guess. So Marios, your discussion with Antonis, you have this background. What is your so what was the thing that you were doing just before starting
FinLoop? Yeah, just before FinLoop, I had just moved the private equity fund that was doing distressed real estate investments in Athens, Greece. They started at the bottom of the cycle, so 2017 that was. I entered early 2019. And then left in a year and a half after an exit we did. And we started FinLoop. But what Antonis referred to specifically was my prior experience with that, which was in a boutique consulting agency where we were doing strategy and operations consulting for mainly financial institutions. I was sort of a specialist there. So from 2015 up until late 2018, early 2019, I was heavily involved with the red loans market, non-performing loans, the official term, which I don't know if you remember, it was over 100 billion worth of exposures that were not being serviced, that were past due, let's say, back then. So we worked with the Bank of Greece to refine a legal framework that would allow a secondary market be created, right? Which was the market of the now known servicers, loan servicers. So that was my initial touch with the loan market in general. Then we worked with all of the banks and the private equity funds that went into Greece to buy out these portfolios to help us in Greece overall find health in our past toxic behaviors, let's say.
That's it sounds like you found each other, and it was a great fit. It sounds like, you know, you both have experience in the same sector but from a different angle. So It's like a great fit when you find someone that just fills you out for the things that you don't know, and they can help you. So you're discussing about this, your experiences, and then you talk about BNPL. Can you just give me a brief introduction to BNPL and, you know, what it actually is?
Yeah, sure. Buy now, pay later is an alternative form of consumer credit. Now, it exists for more than 10 years. In the beginning, it had different forms. For example, pay in 30 days from now. It quickly evolved in other schemes too, such as pay in 4 and pay in 3 installments. My view is that it came as an answer to a general aversion towards the banks after the 2008 crisis, which in Greece had a huge effect. However, this was a global problem. So actually, people seeked for alternative methods of paying with credit. And buy now, pay later came as an easy solution from alternative lenders who provided this type of payment, and the consumer didn't need to have an account beforehand. So actually, it was directly at the checkout, a purchase which was connected with a specific transaction, and that changed, let's say, the mentality around credit. There were other characteristics too. Actually, in the beginning, it occurred in more mature markets where there were standardized credit scores from Central Credit Bureau, so it was relatively easy to take a decision. This has many problems, but we can discuss that later. Therefore, it was a new thing from companies that are not banks. They were challengers. As that evolved, the new challengers of the challengers came into the market with different solutions, different approaches. For example, alternative ways of doing the credit risk assessment. That's what we do, actually, and in a better way, I would say, than the competition. Also, white label solutions, super apps, ultimately, which offer many services. So that's a very interesting space, very hot. It's a trend actually in these past few years, and now it is coming in Greece, and we are the first company bringing that in Greece.
Indeed. When did you launch your first version of the tool?
We launched in April of 2021. We had a very successful pilot with our first merchant, with a very big checkout share, big average order value. The conversion increased of the consumers who actually bought products from that merchant. Then we began bringing more merchants, and actually in 2022 alone, we have, Maria, something like more than 30 merchants.
Yeah, well, actually, that's very interesting because we saw 2021 as a good year for us, but it turns out that which was the first year we operated, by the way. But it turns out that we now have double the amount we closed on 2021. So
Great.
we
And
have over 30 merchants right now signed up and ready to be onboarded with our payment option, which is great.
that's more than great, actually. Can you just give me, Maria, a brief, how does it actually work? I mean, let's say I want to use this service. How can I go ahead and do it?
Yeah, so you will normally find us at the checkout. So we work directly with the merchants and we integrate with them through either our own API for larger merchants, but we've also built plugins for the major e-commerce platforms out there so we can have a very seamless integration process. We currently work with WooCommerce, Magento 2, and we're building our Shopify plugin to work with those merchants as well. So, as I said, initially, you will find us at the checkout of our partner merchants. The whole flow is very seamless. The buyer just puts things on their basket and then they check out using Finloop. So, they choose us instead of the other payment options available here in Greece. Then they will be redirected to our own product flow where they'll be assessed through our open banking process, like Antonis mentioned before. That takes end to end about 3 minutes. And in the end, they'll just need their debit card, which all Greeks now have one. And they pay the first installment then. And the rest are automatically collected by our own system, which works in the back end.
I see.
What
So
about
it's
it?
yeah, it's pretty seamless. So instead, I just go click a button, pretty much, and then the rest happen automatically. I would like to go back to Antonis' point, and maybe Mario, you can give us a bit more insight on, what about the credit scores? Because it has been, yes, it has been. There are many talks about how they affect our lives and how we can buy things, and in some cases, the data is just not enough, and no, someone cannot just go ahead and proceed with a checkout just because something is missing. And I know that you're taking an alternative approach to that. You're using some algorithms, I guess, many algorithms there that just somehow suggest that someone can go and buy and use actually your tool. So what is a credit score, and how can I be affected as an individual, as an end user and client by that?
Yeah, so Theodore, let's make some notes here. Credit scores mostly are based on your past behavior in credit. So let's say you have got a loan or a credit card, so you have some history in that. However, what's very important here is that most people, especially millennials and Gen Z, and in Greece particularly, that's very common, they don't have history in credit. So actually, you have no image on what they do. So our approach is significantly different, and I would say has better results, and it makes better sense because we analyze the real financial profile of the consumer. We check the transaction history from the bank accounts, the balance from their accounts. Therefore, we know some very important things about the affordability and the willingness to pay. To make a deep dive on that, we can see what's the income of the consumer, and we're talking about different types of income here. We see what are the expenses, how consistently they pay their bills, power bill, water bill, telephone, they rent, and some other more sophisticated metrics. For example, how do the individual how does he react or she in an unexpected cost? They have to pay 1,000 euros. How do they react? Can they, for example, use their savings or limit other costs? Effectively, what's their disposable income? Mm-hmm. So we have a very good view on that, and we want to only let consumers who can afford and can repay the installment plan use our service. This is very important because we've seen how the debt can, let's say, accumulate, and people can have real problems on that. And what's important in our solution is that we don't charge any type of fee to the consumer. We're talking about no interest, no upfront fees, no subscription, no late fees, which is very important because there are buy now pay later companies that are their model is based on that, on late fees, which is actually the credit card reinvented. So let's give money to people, then they can't handle it in the correct way, so they pay more and more from the interest, the compound interest that exists there. I would go back to your previous question too, regarding our offering and our product, which is very important for the merchants too. For I think for the consumer, it's pretty straightforward. What's the advantage here? However, this is a very, very good solution for the merchants because they don't pay subscription fee, they don't pay upfront fee and integration fees. The business model is very simple. They're just paying when they sell products via Finloop. And that means they can effectively, without bringing costs irrelevant with our offering per se, they can offer this solution to their consumers. They can increase their sales, increase the conversion rate, increase the average order value. Actually, that would be a no-brainer for the merchant. This is in our side to communicate our solution in a good way so that the benefits are really transparent and visible to the merchant.
That's interesting. It's actually a win-win situation, and for pretty much for everyone involved there, it's a new and better way to do the credit, to just disrupt, let's say, the credit industry. And Maria, I would like to ask you, because there's a lot of buzz around, you know, new ways of payments. It's not just about how you pay. I mean, in terms of you know, the buy now pay later or credit or whatever, it's also, you know, the actual way of paying. So, is there any big indirect competitor out there that you know you consider someone that can somehow offer an alternative to what you are offering to your clients?
Yeah, good pointy question there. A few things could be considered indirect competitors for a buy now pay later product. First of all, there is at least in Greece there are the installments through credit cards, which is I believe it's a global innovation for Greek banks to provide installment plans through their credit card that they issue to individuals. This is actually a model replicated by another buy now pay later company called Splitit, but they're basically scaling in the US, and it's a product that has not been so prevalent in the past because credit cards have been given just to provide you with a 30 days credit and to increase your budget abroad. However, in Greece, they have that indirect competitor, let's say, so behind the credit cards are the banks themselves. So I would guess this is a product that could compete with us at the point of sale. However, big however here, the penetration of credit cards in Greece is quite small compared to the global standard. It's just that 13% of the adults in Greece own one, and adults being over 25. Which makes our product even more competitive and available to the broader public that owns a debit card. They don't need to have a credit card to provide to get credit, basically. So that's one potential indirect competitor. Another potential competitor would be the incumbent banks themselves when they provide point of sale loans with large, mainly large retailers. However, these consumer loans almost always bear upfront fees as well as high interest rates, which is also the case with credit cards. They on average have 14 to 18% of nominal interest rate per year, which also makes it, I would say, let's use the quoted word unsexy to the eyes of the consumer. Naturally, this is a process that takes long. It's not instant. You might not get the good that you want there. However, with Finloop, you get it no matter what, because we, at the end of the day, check your affordability, and basically we can provide for a broader approval rate versus banks, because banks usually look back to data older than 7 months in some cases.
I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I would add on the credit card product. Actually, we're talking about a deeply toxic product. Apart from the very, very high interest rate, there is a subscription fee. And actually, we've seen in practice that people, many, many people do not pay on time. And that means there's a compound interest there. The amount grows and grows. And this is not just bad handling from the consumer. It's actually the business model per se of the credit card. This is something that should be unacceptable, I would say. It's predatory lending, not just unsexy. However, even consumers who have credit cards, and this is a very small percentage of the total population, it doesn't make sense to use the credit card when they can pay with Finloop, because this is a solution, our solution, that it's for the benefit of the consumer. They pay no interest, no other fees, and they can keep their credit limit in the credit card untouched, let's say, for another solution that Finloop cannot serve their need, at least at the moment. And this type of fees, actually, it's a trend at the moment. We've seen, for example, in the UK, some regulatory movements from the central bank and buy now pay later companies, for example, about transparency of the fees that the consumer will pay, or for the credit check. A soft credit check may not be enough because the consumer will just go in more deep debt. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they are beginning to making better checks. So it's interesting that Finloop, from the very beginning, from the inception, actually it's ahead of these measures, because we don't charge the consumer. We actually check their financial in a more let's say, a better way than any other credit score, because we see what they do every day up to now, what they can afford, and we give the power to the consumer to utilize their own data. This is very important because it began with GDPR. Now with PSD2, this is more apparent. The consumer owns their data and they can use it in order to get better services. That's what we do. We provide them with better services, and this could be done with many different ways in the future. So I hope that we are going to see more Finloop as we're going forward.
I'm sure we will. And, you know, this is something that I wanted to discuss with you. One thing, just when it comes to the credit cards, it's one of the things. When I was in the UK and, you know, I had a credit card, I just, you know, issued one. And I remember very characteristically that I had a higher limit than my friends, because I was just new person in the UK, and I had a higher limit than my friend who was there for many years. He was making, you know, more money than me. I was like, okay, that's a random number they use. And of course, if you have different choice, and you know, buy now pay later, what you're doing right now, it's a much better choice for everyone. I guess the only thing that I cannot really see how, but I'm sure you will find it out, you know, when it comes to deposits or stuff like this, you know, you rent something and you need a big amount to be there, and this is primarily what people are using credit cards, I feel, these days. And this brings me to the next question, which is, you know, you are doing that. I know that you will be bringing more and more merchants on that. So what are the next steps in your journey? And I would like Marius to actually give me a hint of what we should be expecting from Finloop in the next few years.
Well, it's too late. So expect many, many things. We're just establishing ourselves in the Greek market, as we pointed out maybe before. It's we've doubled the amount of merchants that we've onboarded, we've signed up, sorry, at the moment. So we expect to have more than 100 merchants by the end of this year, 2022, which is huge for us, a huge growth multiplier versus how we started last year. And that's only the beginning, because we're now at the moment at I would say a tipping point, an inflection point in our progress, where we are starting to build products and processes internally more efficiently, as we've just scaled the team to 12 people, which means that we have so much available and productive time on our hands in order to build a product that's going to be directly directed to the consumer, meaning that we'll just go to the consumer, onboard them on our platform, and then they can buy now, pay later within our own network. So that's one big thing that we're currently building, and we aim to have it ready this year. And then moving on from 2023 onwards, we would like to test the market approach, meaning that within our onboarded merchant network, we will let them sell to consumers coming from Europe, because many of our current merchants have they don't have establishments, but have revenue coming from the European Union and maybe elsewhere, like the Middle East and Asia. So we will enable our product as a cross-border BNPL, so that when they have an incoming customer from, let's say, Germany, they can connect their accounts, get assessed by our algorithm and find out pay later using Finvio. So that's another big thing we aim to work with. And that's, I would say, the MVP of us scaling abroad and attacking our broader Balkan and Southeast Europe region.
I see. Very good. Very interesting. Oh,
so,
sorry. Yeah.
This cross border buy now pay later. It's very important to test other markets and also provide value to our merchants, because we have a lot of merchants who also sell abroad. Some of them, it could be 90% of their clientele. So it's very important to offer a solution that can support all European Union. At least in the beginning, and then go to other markets too. And I would like to add about the Finloop account, so that the consumer comes to us first, then they pre-qualify, then they can go to the merchant, and that's also important because they can have a one-click experience. Because as we said earlier, it may take 2 or 3 minutes at the moment. However, if you have already bought with Finloop, the next time, or if you have pre-qualified in our own website / marketplace, then you don't need to be assessed again or provide your debit card. You can have a one-click experience, which can be awesome for the consumer, actually.
Yeah, so I will have my own Finloop account. I will be able to go find exactly which item I need, and just one click, and that's done. That would be super cool to see. I guess it makes sense, and you know, the bigger you grow, the easier, let's say, it will become for you. And of course, it's a huge win both for your end clients and for your merchants in the network.
I would say that providing a superior user experience to the consumers, but also to the merchant, is very, very important. So actually, we are obsessed with that, providing the optimal user experience. And even when we say, okay, that's good enough, after that, we're thinking, how can we make that even better? And this is something that, as a mentality, there is throughout the company. So we're trying everyone in the company to think like that.
Okay, it's arguably the most important, I would say, when it comes to what you offer. So let's change the topic a bit. And now you mentioned the team. I would like to ask you: are you currently in hiring mode? Should people reach out and, you know, see if they can work with you? And if so, what type of roles are you hiring?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. After this fundraise of about 1 million that we had, we grew our team. As Mario said, we're now 12 people full time, and also we have some part time people and very, very senior advisors in our team. We don't have some open roles now. However, I think what's very, very limited, and maybe that's the most difficult part of building a startup, but maybe for mature companies even more, is to find the right talent, the right people. So if we see that there is someone that fits our mentality and they have the capabilities to help the team and the product go forward, then we would be open. So even though we do not have open positions now, I wouldn't refrain people from coming to us and say, okay, we like what you do, it's very cool, because we think it is. We want to make, let's say, the world better. Not to sound cheesy, but this is what we think, and we strongly believe that our product has the potential to do that. And we want the people who come and work with us to have the same mentality and the same ambition.
Yeah, I am happy to hear that. I will take that, and I will say, go ahead, connect with them on LinkedIn, and, you know, just ask them the questions. I think you will be opening many, many roles in the next few weeks. And yeah, it's always interesting to just, if anyone wants to work with you guys, they should just get in touch, and you know, you can take it from there. Everybody has something to offer, and you never know what is the next step. So one last question I would like to ask you, as this is like an innovation, let's say, chat around entrepreneurship in Greece. What is, because you've started from pretty much zero, right? And what are some things that you liked during your journey so far, or what are the things that were missing for you to just you know, make your life easier, let's say, because it's never easy. You're entrepreneurs, and it's never gonna be easy, but maybe there's something that is missing that you know, entrepreneurs can be helped through, I don't know, the government or any other organization that are supporting these initiatives.
That's a very interesting question. Some thoughts here. Yes, beginning from zero is difficult. However, you can find people and organizations help you in that difficult journey. Actually, we've been in many incubators and accelerators, which helped us better understand the market, find the product market fit. And some senior seasoned professionals who could help us as advisors along the way. A very difficult thing is to find resources as a startup. We were lucky to find some excellent people and investors who helped us from the very beginning with their money, their network, and their capability and knowledge. Therefore, we were in a position to start building a product that merchants and consumers could use.
It's always interesting, and you actually mentioned this earlier. It's like everything is about, you know, finding the right people, and that's how it always starts. I don't know. I would like Mario, if you can give me the bad ones. Like, what was the biggest roadblock that you faced during this journey?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, both me and Antonis are business people. So we had to find our very first resources where we needed someone technical to help us build the product. And because we had an idea, we had a deck, and I don't know, very, very few connections. So we had to start by having proper partners to work with, and they would actually not put equity. Instead, they would put their work. So we would all put sweat equity into the business, and that's how we got started initially. So that was the first big hurdle that we had to surpass. We surpassed it by finding Kyriakos and Stelios, who are both are basically co-founders. Kyriakos is on the data science, so he brought all the knowledge coming from his mathematical background. He studied at Imperial initially, and then he went to ISC, both in the topics of mathematics, and now he's finishing up his PhD in credit scoring. So that's our, you know, the crux of the problem lies there at with our data science team. And then Stelios has before PUP had over 10 years of experience in building critical infrastructure, which is top priority for us at the moment because we're handling this sensitive data and we need to have as much as possible secure-proof and future-proof infrastructures to build our products on. So by moving over this hurdle, we had the proper team in place to start iterating on our first ideas in the MVP. And then the next problem I would say faced was to actually convince investors to help us because we had just a deck, right? So we need to be the first attraction. Initially, we were talking with the whole ecosystem here, but we've discussed with Adonis as well, and now it's beginning to improve in that regard. We didn't have a proper accelerator that could take us from start to finish. So from what we had on paper, a deck, to getting the resources, meaning money, meaning proper guidance from specific key advisors and mentors to take our product to market. So we had to do all of this by ourselves. We had to find the first investors who would put, I don't know, 20K in the beginning, then 10K again, and understand this whole process, which didn't only involve business, commercial, and product things. It involved things like admin, legal, accounting, things that we didn't even know existed or we didn't have experience working with in the past. I believe that's starting to change. New things are happening in the ecosystem. There was an announcement of a new venture capital fund being operating right now called Genesis, which they say they're building a platform like I described before, one that will take you from day zero and get you to one, including resources. So that's a very good thing for our next entrepreneurs in Greece.
Indeed, and yeah, as you, yeah, things are changing, and it feels like Greece is becoming a very hot hub right now for this. Hopefully, we'll see more and more people working on that, and you know, just succeeding in all these different interesting things that we can actually build.
And Theodore, I would add on that that people, as you say, is the key factor here. And we've seen that from the very beginning, because as Mario said, when you have a deck, investors actually invest in people. And that also applies in later stages. Therefore, what was important for us is that investors saw a very strong management team, a cross-functional team, and that could cover all aspects of our product and activity. And apart from Marios and myself, Kyriakos created that research-oriented mentality in the company. And that's very important because we want to always find innovative ways to improve our performance and our product. And that's what how he built the team of data science. And also, information security is extremely important because we handle sensitive data. Therefore, we cannot afford having an insecure infrastructure. So that was very important that Stelios began building that from day one, and also give this priority for every new feature with the development team, so that we can ensure the most secure and good user experience.
I see, and it feels like, you know, you're lucky, and in the same time, you know, to find, I mean, this team, you are all together in this, and it's super important. Like, I cannot say which one of the things is more important than the others. And you know, it feels good that you found it. You're in a great stage, and we're looking forward to actually see what is next for Finloop. I know we will be hearing about you a lot from now on. If I want to work with you, let's say I'm a merchant, I have an e-shop, or I have an actual a brick and mortar shop. So how can I come and work with you guys? What is the process here?
You, if we don't find you first, you can come to our website. It's finloop.com. Finloop is spelled with O-U, not double O. And you can just drop us a line there. We can reach out then, and we can give you the demo, and we can discuss how we can move forward with our collaboration, which, as mentioned, is going to be as seamless as possible using our plugins or our APIs. Mm-hmm. So just drop us a line on our website, and we'll be in touch for sure.
Perfect.
And that's important here, what Mario says about the name, Finloop, which is spelled with OU. That's tied with the core of our company and what we want to do, because we want to terminate the toxic loop of credit that we've seen. Therefore, this double O, which is the loop, becomes a no you. We want people to come use our service when they need credit, then repay that on time and continue with their lives.
That's an interesting thing. I didn't know about your name, guys. So thank you for sharing it with us. So it's Finlay with an OU, please. Don't mistake that from now on. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I will be
Thank
sharing
you for having
this.
Us, Theo.
Of course. Feel free to reach out to the guys, Antonis Perez and Marios Noutsos. You will find their information on the intro section. And we will be in touch. We will be looking forward to speaking with you in a few months and see what else is new.
Thank you, Theodore.
Thank you all, and have a
Bye.
Great day ahead. Bye-bye.
Bye.